I delivered 20 babies in the summer of 1977. I was hardly more than a baby myself, just turned 24 and starting my third year of medical school. At that point, I was toying with the idea of becoming a family practitioner or a general surgeon. Babies didn't much figure into my future. This is how my obstetrics rotation was supposed to work. A medical student was typically paired with an intern, who in turn was under the direct supervision of a senior resident. The senior resident did the complicated cases, forceps deliveries, cesarean sections, and such, while the intern handled the routine vaginal births. My role as a medical student was more or less like Cinderella's in her pre-princess days. Do the dirty work, like IV starts and blood draws, and stay in the shadows to avoid the wrath of the overworked intern and resident. A good student, one with a sense to do his work quietly while openly admiring the skills of his elders, could expect the chance to deliver an uncomplicated baby or two as his reward. Two things conspired to make this particular rotation different. The first was that it was early July, a traditionally scary time to have a baby in a large teaching hospital, since the interns are only a week out of medical school and generally have less experience delivering babies than the women whose babies they're delivering. The second thing was that, for reasons I can't recall, the OB resident staff was a few bodies short of a full complement. This meant that the interns and residents had to cover many more patients than usual, which didn't leave them much time for supervising green medical students embarking on their first hospital rotation. And so, one sweltering Chicago morning, I stood in my crinkly white coat before Mitch, a stocky, gruff senior resident with a startled head of jet-black hair and a permanent dusting of cigarette ash down the front of his scrubs. We were in the hallway outside the maternity ward. Gurneys with moaning women aboard rattled by like Model Ts on an assembly line, pushed by a corps of tough-looking nurses. Mitch had paused between a C-section and a vaginal birth to give me my orders. I was to join Ben, a brand-new intern from a Tony private medical school, on what Mitch called the firing line, a row of wheeled labor beds separated by unadorned canvas curtains. Mitch clamped his hand on my upper arm like a bailiff leading a felon into court, and marched me through the labor room's swinging doors to bed four, where a tiny nurse with Popeye-esque forearms was helping a hugely pregnant woman out of a wheelchair. "Okay, you had some OB training in your physical assessment class, right?" Mitch asked. "No," I told him, "I hadn't. My physical assessment class had been at the Veterans Hospital down the street. There, I had watched men with terminal lung cancer chain-smoke cigarettes through their tracheostomy tubes, had seen others who had lost limbs to diabetes or D-Day landmines, and had personally examined what a senior resident described as the case of the year, a cab driver who got scurvy, from a decades-long diet of plain White Castle hamburgers and Coke, period. Not only had I not seen a baby born at the VA, I told Mitch, I hadn't seen a single female patient. The woman climbing onto the bed in front of us would be the first woman I had ever touched with medical intent." Mitch scratched the stubble on his cheek. "Well, you've read about childbirth, haven't you?" I said that I had. Just the night before, in fact. Half a chapter with diagrams. Took me 20 minutes. "No problem, then." He slapped me on the back. "Just sit there." He motioned me to a rolling stool between the woman's now propped up legs. "And call me when you see a head." Then he left.